Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Life Science Rundown. This is Nick Katman with the FDA Group. Before we jump into our discussion for today, just a little bit about the FDA Group. We help life science companies in the areas of quality assurance, regulatory affairs, clinical operations, commissioning, qualification, and validation, as well as CMC. We offer three different engagement models, which are consulting, staff augmentation, and full-time employee recruitment. So if you ever find yourself in need, just head over to thefdagroup.com to check us out and get in touch. So today I'm speaking with Sunil Gupta. Hey, Sunil, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Nicholas. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you for joining me today. I know today we're going to be talking about compliance within SDTM. But before we jump into that topic, could you introduce yourself and your background?
Sure. Thank you. First, I want to thank Nicholas giving me the opportunity for this podcast and kind of share my knowledge and experience in this area. I've been in the pharmaceutical industry for about three decades, very much a hands-on technical person, working with large pharmaceutical companies as well as large CROs. I strongly believe in the process of clinical trials, a strong SAS programmer, been involved in various submissions, and very excited to be part of this. Specifically, more recently, I'm a consultant to Point Cross. I've been auditing their systems as they bring on new technology. Many things that have been done in this industry have been more or less a manual effort with programming to get things done. And now with the advancements of tools technology, that really helps facilitates and kind of empowers programs. So I'm really excited to be part of that. Because I'm a true believer in automation and standardization. So thank you.
You got it. So to start, what are standards in compliance reporting and dashboards?
Yeah, I think, as far as this field, obviously, when you're talking about FDA submissions, there's a lot of significance placed in the quality of the data. But along those lines, there's a lot of compliance that must be met. I think people in this field, they need to understand that this is not a trivial thing. The compliance extends from assuring the standardization of values, raw data that's being entered into the system, but more importantly, in a structured format. Everything really has to deal with the basis of facilitating the review. The concept of having some standardization and the review of the data on a regular basis, I think, is very important. Knowing what those rules are, having the tools in order to do that. Everything that is being collected. So we have data that's being collected from all types of sources. When we talk about case report form, lab data, and other sources of information that must be digitized. So before CDIS standards, we talked about SDTM, before these standards were in place, pharmaceutical companies would submit their data in whatever conventions, whatever naming conventions, whatever data set namings that they had, the values and the structure. So we have a large variety of ways that data was being read, and that became a real issue as far as facilitating. There was no standardization. When CDIS was introduced and SDTMs, they became a standardized process. So when we're talking about common things like demographic information, sex, race, ethnicity, everything like that, no more did pharmaceutical companies have the options of having that variable names to be anything. They had some strict rules that they needed to follow. And what happens is organizations, they need to understand what the implementation guides are. As the standards were created, they make enhancements. They get a CDIS organization gets feedback from pharmaceutical companies, from CROs. And what they do is they expanded on this methodology for the standardization. So once you understand the core concepts of required domains, required variables, required structure, and the significance of who your audience is, you have technical and non-technical reviewers of the clinical data. They need to have quick and easy access to the data, viewing not only at the summarized level, but the detailed patient level. And so the accuracy is paramount. having tools that facilitate the not only the review, but the compliance of the data really helps that process. And many organizations, what they do is they should incorporate tools within their process, not just as a separate standalone to check for the compliance of this process from STTMs to ATOMs and TLGs, but integrate that as data is being collected on a regular basis, that data is refreshed and compliance checks are being placed. You know, there's just, if you take a look at the variety of categories that, you know, compliance is being checked, you have, you know, ranging from metadata, which talks about the structure and the attributes of everything from data sets to variables to values. Then you have control terminology. You know, one of the conventions that they have at FDA is control terminology, meaning all uppercase and more or less abbreviated. And then the concept of paired variables. So paired variables kind of give you the best of both worlds. You have numeric and you have corresponding character variables. For the numeric variables, it's easy for precision and analysis. For the character variables, you can do some categorization and some grouping. And the structure of lab data, for example, it's a vertical structure. So what that means is organizations, they would need to, you know, first of all, understand how to standardize the variables. So we collect things, you know, as lab data is being collected, not only does those values and units need to be preserved, but also the standardized versions of them. So everything is fully captured. And the vertical structure basically entails having generic variable names that capture the different types of lab tests. So the structure of the lab basically makes it very generic, very robust, so that most any type of lab data can be collected. And so I think there's a lot of thought process placed into these standards so that not only does it work in the short term, but for the long term, because CDISC and FDA realize that they need to have a system so that it can grow as people you know, have more sophisticated clinical trials and the therapeutic areas, you know, going from various things like oncology and cardiovascular. So there has to be a way for the system kind of grow. And fortunately, I think industry recognized the significance of it and placed importance on actively, you know, checking the quality of the data. So I think, you know, having a compliance system early on and doing it regularly is a very important factor.
Great. What do you think are kind of some of the challenges that people face as it pertains to this?
I think proper documentation, proper communication is very important. Some of the challenges, I think, you know, you need to have proper training. So the people involved, obviously in this regulatory environment, you have secure access. So updates that are made to the program, updates that are made to the data sets are only by authorized people. They need to be fully documented. Any changes need to be justified. And so I think some of the challenges are to maintain that you have things in sync, that things are being documented and updated and monitored very proactively. So the last thing that you want is you want to be found out, you know, from downstream that there are problems or issues, there's some inconsistency. We want to have one story. And so the challenges is, you know, want to be getting everybody on the same page, to be very proactive and having the right tools and actually implementing that. And I think kind of ignoring that, it becomes more of a problem and an issue. So people should be very, you know, proactive. You know, one of the things that I take value of is, you know, listening to podcasts, going to conferences. You also want to see what other people are doing to address, you know, common challenges and issues, because, you know, you're not usually in a vacuum, you know, so there are other things, and you can collaborate with organizations as well, because leverage their expertise. So I think being, you know, open to that and realize that everything does need to be double checked. There's SOPs that organizations have, so thoroughly following the SOPs. There's various levels, layers. Many organizations also have quality assurance department. And so I think, you know, lessons learned from one study, they need to be applied to other studies. And then making full use, of tools that you may have available to you.
What are some of the common pitfalls that people find themselves in, or you would want to highlight so that people know what to be aware of and try to avoid?
Yeah, I think people, if they look and identify, issues that are found from one of their compliance report, they may not do their due diligence. They may incorrectly assume those to be true when they could be, false positives or false negatives. And they have to be really careful of that. Just because, you have a tool, you always want to check the details. You want to be able to have the granularity to drill down at the subject level, to see if there's in fact a true case of maybe, missing baseline or missing required variable or any inconsistencies in their date sequence. So you always want to be able to drill down and verify what you are finding. And so other things that you also should do is you also want to be a particular paying attention to the primary, secondary endpoints of your study. Many of these studies are designed for efficacy as well as safety. And so you always want to monitor what are your AE levels, severity and related, maybe your death counts. And also on the efficacy side, you also want to see, okay, if you're looking at specific lab measurements, meeting a threshold, are you getting those patients that you anticipate? Are you monitoring that very closely? So many of the things that, I'm a big advocate of metadata. Metadata, many people may not realize it, but metadata really is a methodology that can help you become much more standardized, much more automated, but also empower you so that you can do more with the information that you have and, be proactive. So I think, leveraging all these things is something that organizations should be more paying attention to.
Good point. Where can people go to find the best resources on this? And for people that are interested on, as time goes on and updates are made, where would you point people to?
Yeah, so CDIS.org is a great website. Many of my clients, of course, are members of CDIS. CDIS also has webinars on a quarterly basis, the control terminology updates webinars that they have. They also have therapeutic area webinars that they talk specifically about domains. The other website is Fuse.org. Fuse is another organization that works very closely in this area with CDIS, with FDA. They have a lot of working groups and they put together guidelines. So they have guidelines, best practices on a variety of topics, including programming, but also taking a look at standards and compliance. Many organizations, of course, they have their own SOPs on QC process, but Fuse workshops, working groups, they're representative of the industry. So you have the top industry representatives in these working groups, as well as from CROs. And what they do is they collaborate and document all the things that would be best implemented. And so it behooves us, anybody in this industry, whether you're doing programming or having a lead role or project management or even a director, to pay attention to these resources. And of course, FDA website has the guidelines. And now the CDIS guideline itself basically talks about not only the standards. So you have the SDTM implementation guide, the control terminology, the ADAM implementation guide. It also has the conformance checks. So many of the tools that are available, you need to check that those tools can actually run the specific conformance checks associated with your implementation guide. And so again, being aware of what is there in your environment and being proactive makes a lot of sense. So staying on top of these things is very helpful.
Yep, great point. What do you see is coming up in the future? Is there anything that you see in 2024 or beyond that the audience would find interesting?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about, leveraging tools. I'm a big advocate of using programming, in the area of programming. If you talk about the different levels, programs, obviously there's a specific purpose and function for a given program. The next level up is what's called a macros. And so macros have a general utility that can be used across. And then you have applications. And so applications, obviously now we're getting into open source and R-Shiny, which is getting to be very, very popular. I see that definitely in 2024. The real nice thing about applications is basically you have transparency. This is a great and easy way for non-technical people, maybe project managers, or maybe clinicians or scientists, to take a analysis view of the data. So they don't have, they're not responsible, they don't necessarily need to know how the data is put together, simulated. All they need to know is it's available for their easy review and in terms navigation that makes it easy for them to understand whether they want to drill down, for specific cohort, for specific demographics, or specific lab type conditions, and all the data being integrated. So these applications, they could range from very simple applications to a little more advanced applications, is where I see the real power. And along those lines, the focus of this really is compliance. I see tools, instead of just being a separate standalone package that that is used on occasional basis, I see compliance tools such as ADV compliance validator to be incorporated in the process of the SDTM generation. I think once people see the important significance of a tool being integrated with the development of SDTMs, with the development of atoms, it becomes second nature to also focus on the compliance and data issues versus waiting to the very end when it becomes a necessary requirement. It's better to incorporate that early on because then it becomes a higher sense of awareness. I think that will inherently improve all of the issues to address early on versus later. And I think that management would greatly appreciate that as well.
Yep, makes sense. Well, before we wrap up today's podcast, what are some of the kind of the big takeaways that you want the audience to leave with today?
Yeah, first of all, again, thank you for the opportunity for this podcast. I think the FDA Group is really a great organization. I think that making connections, I think that there's a value to be gained from the interaction from different viewpoints. One of the things that I cherish a lot is mentoring. I do a good bit of mentoring. Organizations, for example, needing R training, I do that as well as teaching that, but also SAS and CDIS. And I think people and organizations, they should leverage resources that are available. For example, SAS Savvy is a website that I created well over a decade ago. It's open source. People can go to that for taking a look at SAS information and also CDISC information as well. But I think making use of resources, information, readily available, seeking the guidance and support within the team. I think that there are plans that the internal within company, there's some departments that are there. For example, Center of Excellence could be created within a company that helps support other teams because there's a lot of commonality issues. So I think leveraging and collaborating is a really key thing. And that's really a big factor of what's going on with open source, a high level of collaboration between organizations, whether you're pharmaceutical companies or CROs. And I really look forward to more collaboration.
Great. Before we close, if people wanted to find you, where's the best place for them to locate you?
Yeah, thank you. So I have, obviously, I'm there on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with you on LinkedIn. So anybody, feel free to reach out to me. And as I mentioned, I have my website, sassavvy.com. I also have the other website, r-guru.com. And so please feel free to reach out to me with anything that I may be able to assist or guide you. And I'm actively, you know, giving presentations. I give webinars, so look for that. I'll be giving an invited presentation at the Fuse conference coming up in Maryland in February. And that's going to be on professional development. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So please do feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to connect with you.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Sunil, I really appreciate your insights and your time. And to everybody listening, as always, if you find conversations like this valuable, please share it with a colleague or your professional network. If you haven't already, subscribe to get updates of new episodes at thefdagroup.com/podcast and follow the FDA Group on LinkedIn. If you'd like to connect about project or resource needs, head over to thefdagroup.com to get in touch, and feel free to connect with me personally on LinkedIn. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you all next time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.